right here now.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. 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 What's the buzz?
I'll tell you what the buzz is. We're live in studio with Accidental Jesus Christ, Ted Neely. He originated the film role of Jesus Christ in Jesus Christ Superstar. Ted Neely, welcome and thank you for being here today.
My pleasure and thank you for your patience.
Absolutely. I just knew I liked you as soon as you walked in here. You're going to be. It's the shirt, isn't it? Also in studio, tour promoter and Ted's record producer. He's Frank Munoz. Frank, thanks for being here as well.
Thanks for having us, Nikki.
This is not the first time that you have come to Yellow Springs with the movie Jesus Christ Superstar. It'll be screening, by the way, tonight at 7 o'clock, tomorrow night at 7. The Sunday matinee is sold out.
Sunday is a 2 o'clocker. Yeah, it is sold out, but please come down tonight if you can, 7 o'clock. We introduce the film. We do a little talking beforehand, and then we play what is called a DCP print of the film, which is remastered. So if you've got this film, you've watched it 100 times, Easter and Christmas, you've never seen it like this before.
Right on. So Ted Neely and Frank Munoz both, you will be giving a presentation beforehand, doing a little talking about how it is that how the aspects of making the movie and how you became connected to it. You were discovered in Tommy, which seems like not much of a discovery because it seems like you had already been discovered. Tell me about how that role came to you and how that came to be your role as Jesus Christ.
Actually, we were doing the Broadway show of Superstar, the original Broadway show. And I heard from my cast buddies because, again, I wasn't a trained actor and they auditioned all the time. And I kept saying, why are you auditioning? You have a job, you know. Well, we got to build a resume. I said, well, there's an audition tomorrow. We're all going to. Why don't you go with us? So I did. And it was for Tommy. They were doing a production out in California. And they hired me to do the role of Tommy. And I was working in Tommy whenever I read the trades in L.A. that Norman Jewison was in Los Angeles casting for his film. And I thought, my goodness, I got to do that. Well, it worked out that he was doing his casting while we were doing what's called a preview, the week of previews. That means you rehearse all day and you work at night. So I couldn't get out. So I called the Writers Guild to find out how to reach him. I didn't have an agent or manager. I was just there. And I talked to the Writers Guild. They gave me the agent's number. I called him. I explained my circumstances, and he said, well, I'll see if I can get Mr. Jewison to come see you.
Wow.
And he said, when would you like him come? And I said, please, I don't want to know if he's there. I'll forget all the lyrics. I won't know what I'm doing. So, okay, it just worked out that, see, Tommy is a very, very, very physical show. And we ended the first act, which got into the under tour, who was all dancing, and I'm not a dancer either. So the people wanted me to be in that number, and they decided since it was Tommy and I was playing Tommy, the stage was built to look like a pinball machine.
Oh.
I was the pinball. Literally, they were pitching me back and forth to these big muscle-bound, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of dancers.
Wow.
And that matinee show, we both had an accident. One of the guys that was catching me, he misjudged, and I did something to make it weird, and we both hit the floor and were knocked out cold.
Cold!
So,
unconscious!
They had to drag us off of the stage. So the company doctor said, you shouldn't go back on because you'll hurt yourselves and you might hurt somebody in the cast. So our understudies went on. That's the show Norman Jewison came to see. I wasn't even there. I didn't know until the next day. His agent called me and said, where were you last night? Norman Jewison came to see. Where? And I explained it to him. And he said, well, hey, you blew it. I said, please, is there any way I could have lunch with him or something just to apologize? He said, who are you? And why? What are you so aggressive about? I said, because I want to see him for this film. Anyway, he set up the lunch. We went and we talked, and he told me up front, Ted, I'm here casting for just singers and dancers. We've already cast all of our principals. What would you have me do? And again, I knew not what I was talking about. I just openly said, I will pay for a screen test.
And Nikki, you got to remember something. He went to see Norman after this in a Jesus costume disguise.
No, Tommy, the Tommy.
No, but went afterwards.
But I was, trying to look like Tommy, real young and short hair and all this stuff. And here I'm going, Jesus, so carry on.
So, no, but you went, when after you missed Norman seeing you live on stage, when you went to actually see him, you had a fake mustache
and beard and wig and all that. I had a friend, an actor friend, came and made me up to look like Jesus.
You're certainly motivated.
Oh, for that one, no question, because I had done it. You know, I thought, let me just get a chance. You know, there's no way he's going to cast me because I have no credit or any of that. But I wanted to see him. Figured maybe he'd let me be one of the boys to sweep up the floor after the scenes or something.
How did you get parlayed into Christ?
Well, I read the Bible when I was a child. Well, honestly, he said, you know, he told me I'm not casting for principals. And then he said, what would you have me do? And I said, screen test. I'll pay for a screen test. And he fell out of his chair. He said, do you have any idea what a screen test costs? I said, I don't even know what it is. I've heard the term. So he said, okay. He said, I love your sense of humor, but I'm headed back to London today. His whole company was at Pinewood Studios in London. He said, I'll get in touch with you. And he shook my hand and was very kind and he left. And I'm thinking, that's just a really nice director's way of telling me to get out of here. Leave me alone. Well, we went after that. We finished the Tommy run. Then Carl Anderson and I were asked to do the first national tour of Superstar. And it opened at the Universal Amphitheater in Los Angeles. And the night before opening night, Mr. Jewison called. For rehearsals. We were in the first rehearsals, and he called and said, I figured out a way to do that screen test for you. And I don't have it set yet, but I will let you know. You can't tell anybody because I got to talk to Universal to get you out of the rehearsal to do that. And I figured he's going to come to the studio because Universal's got hundreds of sets on the lot.
Right.
Stages everywhere, you see. You know, we go from this one to that one. I'll sing a song, go back to rehearsal. He called me back and said, I got it all worked out. I'm going to bring you to London for a screen test. And I didn't know how to talk about that at all. Anyway, so he did
aspects
that.
Aspects of this are miraculous.
It just keeps growing, I'm telling you. The fact that he would go to that length for somebody he knew nothing about to test. And
well, it's your drive. I mean, clearly he could tell that you were you're vectoring
he
toward
wanted that.
That
role.
He wanted that.
I did.
Yeah. And I can tell you one more thing that will kind of cement that. When he said about the screen test, I said, well, if I'm coming to London for a screen test, there's going to be somebody I can sing with. I assume you want me to sing something with Judas. He said, well, we have some people. Do you have anything in mind? And I said, well, there's a wonderful man here that is wonderfully talented. I'd love to him get tested, too. It was Carl Anderson. And he said, well, yeah, I've heard that name, too, so let me see what I can work out. Anyway, we didn't know. Carl and I didn't know that Barry Dinnan, who played Pontius Pilate, who was in the original album, had said to Norman Jewison, you know, you really ought to see these two guys. I've worked with them, and they're both really good. So Barry Dinnan put in a word for it, you see. So anyway, they take us to London for the screen test. And when we walk in, Norman Jewison introduced us to all of his crew. He was a very kind man. And he said to Carl, Carl, I haven't met you yet. You're a nice man. But I just want you to know the reason you're here is because this guy won't leave me alone.
And
I know if I don't do something, he will never stop, you see. So he said, you're both token tests. I have all of my principals cast here, but I've been told you both do the show. You know it. So that way my crew can follow you guys around and do what Jesus and Judas do, and we'll know what's going on. So he had Carl sing Heaven on Their Minds. He had me sing Gethsemane. And the crew applauded after we both got through. And we start to leave, and he said, wait a minute, fellas. Do you know that song that Jesus and Judas sing that's right after the Last Supper when they have a face-to-face argument? Now, we'd been rehearsing that particular song, part of the show. We knew it like the back of our hands. He said, could you do that? Now, mind you, a rehearsal like it in a studio is just a piano player, and you sing.
Right.
Okay, so we did that, you see. We left. We go back to rehearsals. We finish our rehearsals, and this was after we did the screen test. On the night before opening night at Universal Studio, I get a call about 3 o'clock in the morning. Hello? Ted?
Yeah?
Norman! Now, my closest friend in America that I grew up with, Norman Glenn. I thought it was Norman calling
me
from home.
Your buddy?
Yeah. Hey, how you doing, man? I started talking to him about the Bulldogs, the football team, and Ted, I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, Norman.
Oh, that
said,
Norman.
He said, well, I just want to let you know that you were right. I said, about what? He said, about being in the film. I said, you're perfect. I said, well, if I'm for what? He said, I want you to play Mary Magdalene. I promise you, that is what he said.
So he had a sense of humor.
Oh, he was wonderful. Aww. Anyway, so long story getting longer, Carl and I both got to be in the film because of those accidents. And so,
and the rest is rock opera history.
Rock opera history. I'm holding in my hand a CD called Rock Opera. It's CD 5, Ted Neely, production from 2014, just the year after the reissue of this. And you include some tunes in here. I've got track 2 queued up from Tommy. Tell me a little bit about how you first came to the song and about this recording.
Tommy was magnificent. You know, the Who were the original rock opera, and of course, with the success of Superstar, they decided to give it a shot. And it was great working with all those guys to put that show together out in Los Angeles because nobody had ever done it before. You know,
oh, I can't imagine what an absolute delight it must have been, just like electricity.
It was insane.
Yeah,
just insane.
Yeah.
And we had so much fun, and the company was great, and the show was very successful. And had it not been for the fact that Carl and I both got Superstar for the tour, they wanted to do another tour of that, to continue a tour. So we wanted to go make a movie, you understand.
Like Tommy or Jesus Christ?
Yeah, well, I've done all of them. I got to do Superstar and Tommy and Hair and Sergeant Pepper. I got to
be
in all
of them.
So Hair was the first one I got to be in. That's how I managed to get into this business, again,
by
accident.
You really are a slice of rock opera history.
Accidental history.
Accidental.
That's
I love
a good,
it.
Good segue to the CD.
There
that's,
it is.
That's it. So let's play one of the tracks. We recorded this in California a few years ago, and it's available on iTunes and Amazon, and we'll have copies of it at the Little Art all weekend.
Ted Neely, Rock Opera on WISO. Ted Neely, Rock Opera is the collection, and it's a 5-song CD of some of his amazing sounds. See me, feel me, listening to you from Tommy, of course. And Ted Neely, I was commenting that this was just 3-4 years ago that you recorded this album, and your high range is immaculate.
Well, actually, the high is stronger than the low now because I've used it so much. And my voice is much lower now because I'm 33, you know.
Yeah,
it gets a little deeper as you get.
You've been doing this for over 2,000 years,
yes.
And you just remain 33.
Well, that happened because when I really reached the first 33, when I really became 33,
yeah.
My family celebrated so much because I was finally the age of the person I pretended to be.
Wow.
We had so much fun that I've always celebrated 33 ever since.
Ever since. So your family, where are you from? Where were you
Texas.
Born and raised? Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'm so tall.
You're shorter than I imagined.
See?
You think of Jesus as being a very tall man.
Well, who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah.
But
certainly tall in spirit.
Certainly
you know.
Tall in spirit. Ted Neely played Jesus Christ in the film version of Jesus Christ Superstar and is in town for a 3-night run or a 3-day run. Screenings tonight at 7 o'clock at the Little Art Theater here in Yellow Springs. Tomorrow night at 7 as well. There are just a few tickets left for that. The Sunday matinee is sold out. If you'd like to come and see this and hear our guests today, Ted Neely and Frank Munoz, give a talk beforehand. I think tonight is your good bet. Again, shows at 7 o'clock. They'll give an opening speech, and the film will begin at 7:30.
And we're doing it a little bit different this time. I don't know if a lot of the Superstar fans know, but one of the main co-stars, one of our great friends, Ted has worked with him for over 40 years, and I've been touring with him for the last 5 years, is Barry Denon, who played Pontius Pilate. He recently died. And I say died because that's how he wanted it to be said. He said, "When I go, don't ever say passed away. Where did I pass to?" He basically said, you know. So we lost him a couple of months ago. And he was here in Yellow Springs last time we were here. And he loved Yellow Springs. And we dearly miss him. We wish he was here with us. But we're going to pay a tribute to him by telling stories about, you know, touring with him. And Ted's going to tell some stories about making the film with him. All those amazing scenes of Pilate and Christ, and all those amazing songs that they sung together and performed live up until as of May in Rotterdam.
Oh, and what a great going away for him for that, yeah. Because the last three concerts or evenings that we did this whole show in Holland, we played for 10,000 seat arenas. Oh. And Barry and Yvonne were both there as well. And
Yvonne who played
Mary Magdalene. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And what an experience for the three of us to be part of that.
An incredible final bow for Barry to be singing his song, Pilot's Dream, in front of 10,000 people for three nights in Rotterdam in an arena. So, I mean, if you're going to go, boy, that's
wonderful.
There you go.
So, I've got it queued up. Let's hear that, and then we'll be back in studio with Ted Neely and Fred Munoz.
Crying for this man, and then I heard them mentioning my name and leaving me the blame.
He always had his own choir with him, you know, Barry. Bless his heart.
These shows tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday in tribute to Barry Dinan, one of the actors in that original film, played Pilot. That was his tune there. We're in studio with Ted Neely. He played, I'm just going to call him the accidental Jesus Christ.
Jeez.
And in studio with the tour promoter and also Ted's record producer, Frank Munoz. So when you first saw this remastering, this high quality, mm-hmm. Were you just as your past coming to you in a more crystal clear version, were you blown away?
My goodness, yes, yeah. And I've seen it many times since then. And, and I must say to anyone who has seen this film, you see it up on the big screen in digital process, you see things you've never seen before.
I'll bet.
I see new stuff every time we see it. So
wow.
Believe me, every time since we first saw it, the first time it was screened after we made the film, it was as if our family had been on a wonderful vacation in Israel and we had somebody taking pictures of us, you see. It was a family celebration. Most of the people in the cast were either in Hair or Superstar or Tommy with me when we played them all together. Even the dancers, a lot of the dancers were as well. And most of the other folks came from Canada with Norman Jewison and the choreographer. So it was just a mixture of the most wonderfully talented people. People from the National Ballet of Canada were the lead dancers.
Oh.
One of those was my wife. I met her.
Hey.
I met her in Israel, you see. So
wow.
If we hadn't have gone, I mean, she rose up in Canada in a ballet company, and I grew up in Texas screaming and playing rock and roll. What a chance we're going to get together.
What a chance.
So in Israel, we met, and we've been together ever since. Everything about it is positive. All the people that were in it, we still contact each other.
Oh, that's so nice to hear.
Incredible.
Lovely. We were talking, and I think it can be said that Jesus Christ Superstar was the Hamilton of its time.
You're
absolutely.
Absolutely correct. Yes. Yes. And I must say, we must give credit to Hair, because if it hadn't been for Hair before that, probably would never have been a rock and roll show on Broadway. But Hair prepared it perfectly.
Yeah.
And then Superstar came along when it did, and nobody had a clue, and it was here. Almost 50 years later, it's still overwhelmingly successful.
And it had controversy at the time.
Oh, boy.
I mean, you were protesting.
Can you see me out in the hall, getting ready to go into the theater?
You know? No. Fending off blows.
I mean, they wouldn't let you into the theater, and still today, they may not let you into some hotels.
That's true. So there was never
an inside joke.
A knowing look went around the studio with that.
There's never been any violence. No, it's never been that sort of a thing. But in New York, every single night.
People thought it was sacrilege. They didn't think that Jesus Christ should be a subject of such a, in this venue, this arena, this media.
You are absolutely correct, as if you read it, you see. Really, that's exactly what they would say. And we'd work our way through to get into the backstage, and they didn't want us to go in. And I would say, hypothetically, if you're one of those people, I would say, have you seen our show?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I said, well, if you haven't seen it. What is it that you don't like? We hate the name. And Jesus Christ Superstar. How much more sacrilegious can you get in that? And we hear he sings. And not only does he, Jesus didn't sing. And I'm thinking, were you there? Or did you see him?
Mm-hmm.
And I would also, I'd say, well, is that it? Well, no, he sings with a rock and roll band. That's terrifying. Please, sir, would you do me a favor? Come in tonight as my guest. Watch the show. Wait for me in the lobby after the theater. Tell me what you don't like. Maybe we can address that. Suddenly it was silent. You'd do that? Well, of course, we're here to entertain, not to offend you. They'd come in. I'd go out in the lobby afterward. The minute I opened that door, we love your book. This is incredible. So the people who protested became the advertisers. They told everybody. And there was always media, so TV saw the protest. They always are talking about it every day, and then it became celebration, you see?
Wonderful. And to talk about full circle, although it doesn't have the aspect of sacrilege, but using rap music to tell the story of Hamilton, some people, before ever hearing it or knowing what it's about, think, well, that's not, that would never. And of course, it's the most strangely perfect, as was rock music for Jesus Christ Superstar. But there's a wonderful story about Lin-Manuel Miranda when he won the
Tony. Yeah, he said when they bring everybody to the back of the press row, I think the quote was, do you see yourself doing this in 40 years? And his response is, if Ted Neely can play Jesus, I can play Hamilton.
<That's> wonderful. You know, the little girl, I was thinking, the little girl who played Suzu in It's a Wonderful Life, mm-hmm. she made a life after that. She mm-hmm. just so enjoyed that experience and the message of the movie that she did something of what you're doing, that she, the rest of her life, she toured with that movie and talked to people and answered questions about the making of It's a Wonderful Life. Yeah. There's something about these images, this collections of words and songs to become like archetypes for us, like yes. icons. And certainly this movie and the play that preceded it is that.
It really is an experience to see the audience. We've been doing these screenings now for 5 years. This remaster came about in 2013. So before that, it was only the 35mm prints that would clip and clitch and it was scratchy. And they were in mono, which is really sad to hear a rock opera in mono. So this is in full stereo. It's nice and loud and big bass, and it sounds amazing. But the reaction of the audience is, doesn't matter if we're in Seattle or we're in Tampa or we're in Yellow Springs. It's incredible how when people walk out of this movie, how moved they are and how inspired
they are. Gosh darn it, I'm coming. I was thinking I wouldn't. Yes. I'm going to do it. I'm coming tonight.
They didn't tell you.
I'm gonna go home and get the kids and bring them back out here.
They didn't tell you we have a rope in the car that we're going to grab you just soon.
You're coming. We're in studio with the actor who played Jesus Christ Superstar in that iconic film, Ted Neely, and the tour promoter of this series of screenings, and also Ted's record producer, Frank Munoz. I've got another one queued up from the soundtrack.
This one's a groovy one. This is Carl Anderson.
Oh,
it's the opening track of the piece, and it sets it all up, huh?
And wait till you see Carl on this big screen sing this song by himself in the Negev Desert. Oh.
My mind is clearer now. At last, all too well, I can see where we all soon will be. If you strip away the myth from the man, you will see where we all soon will be. Things they say of you, you really do believe this talk of God is true. And all the good you've done will soon get swept away.
Bring a little rock and roll to your Christmas, huh?
To your caroling.
Yes.
Tell me about the band. It's a pretty impressive collection of folk backing you up there.
Magnus just magnificent. They've been on tour doing Metallica stuff for years.
It's a band is the backing band for Jason Newsted. The band's called Newsted, and Jason was a bass player for Metallica for many years, and I produced his record as well, called Metal. Metal. Let's keep it simple. And you know, we were working on a record with Ted, and I said, you know, let's bring these guys in and do it and make it sound nice and thick and heavy. And you know, the basis of rock opera is to make all these songs sound huge. And you know, there's a duet of Ted and Yvonne Elliman doing "Up Where We Belong," the Joe Cocker song, and there's a Bryan Adams song on there, and. You know, it's a big sounding record. So again, rock opera, Ted Neely. You can pick it up on iTunes, and on iTunes you can actually get a bonus track, so you get a little more for your money.
Or come to the screening tonight or tomorrow
and get the CD, and Ted will autograph it, right, Ted?
I think I can spell it. You know we do this.
It's Ted Neely, N E E L E Y.
Hey, thank you very much.
Triple E.
Is that what it says on there?
I think it does. Sure. Yeah.
And, you know, I was worried about that.
And you know, all this stuff, all Ted's. Cool stuff that copies of the movie and everything are available at tedneely.com.
Right on.
That's the website, and everything is there. You can go see you know, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. You know, that's the one-stop shop right there, tedneely.com.
Do you have any idea, Ted Neely, where you would be now if you hadn't left whatever Texas town and struck out and become Tommy and then Jesus Christ? Where do you suppose you would be?
Sitting on the dock of the bay. Somewhere in Texas, you know,
Texas.
Probably working in an oil station of some sign, you know. Because I, you know, when you grow up in a town that small, you don't have a lot of opportunity to leave. But I had a band when I was in high school. I didn't have a band. I was part of one.
Yeah.
And
I,
my whole thing was starting out as a rock and roll screaming drummer from Texas. And we took off to California, and one thing led to something else.
Wonderful.
All because of music. And quite frankly, if it weren't for a director named Tom O'Horgan, who's the man who accidentally cast me in the show Hair for 3 years, and then we did the Broadway show of Hair, and I was in that with him, and then Norman Jewison came along for the film. Hadn't been for those two gentlemen, I wouldn't be here talking today. Their guidance in everything I've done, they nurtured me as if I was somebody important.
Aww.
They made me feel like I knew what I was doing, and they gave me the courage to do it, you see. So I've been so fortunate. I will never stop thanking people, because I'm the luckiest man alive to still be doing this.
We have a great spirit, a great soul. It sort of radiates off you in a lovely sense of humor. It's been just a real treat to speak with you. And, I'm going tonight. It is tonight, tomorrow, and a Sunday matinee, but that is sold out. So your opportunities to see this remastered, high-quality print screened at the Little Art Theater would be tonight. There's a few tickets there.
Yeah, come out tonight. Tonight's definitely. It's going to be. It's the first one that we've done in a while as far as these screenings. And we're you know, the screening tour continues. We'll be in Indiana and Massachusetts and Connecticut, and then we go to Palm Springs and Phoenix, and then we end it in L.A. before Christmas. So you know, tonight's the first one that we've done for a while. So, yeah, come out, and we're going to have a good time tonight.
We were saying, it's worth noting, you had been in Italy for a long stretch of time, putting on the play. Tell us just a little bit about that, and then we're going to hear the great sort of climactic anthem of this.
I got called by the director, producer, a man named Massimo Romeo Piparo from Italy, from Rome. He had invited me to come over to help them celebrate their 20th anniversary. That company had been doing Superstar every year, every Easter, every Christmas for 20 years.
Wow.
They wanted me to come and celebrate, play the role of Jesus in that production. He said, I'll need you for 4 weeks rehearsal and 6 weeks of running the show. I'm not about to say no to get to go to Rome for 10 weeks, you know.
Goodness.
So I went over, and we've been doing it ever since.
Wonderful.
That was 2014 in February, and we keep going back. We go back after the first of the year to continue. So the whole thing is the idea of me having at this state of my life the opportunity to continue working in this show every single night of the week in audiences from, say, 5,000 to 20,000 to 200 people to whatever the theater allows, it is the most magnificent experience in my life. It has continually changed my life for the better, and I cannot get enough of doing this wonderful experience. I am so thankful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
And I feel that way about my job, too.
I'm telling you
know?
To be continually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please, to be continually employed at anything.
Yeah.
You see? And you look what you do. You ad-lib your way through the whole day,
yeah,
every
do.
Day.
I do.
That brain is working constantly, you know?
I can't remember to pay my bills on time, but I can live in the now. I can be here.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. The whole be here now thing. It's
yeah.
wonderful. It's wonderful. And we really are appreciative of you bringing us here just on such short notice.
Happy
you know?
To do it. Really, really happy. To do it. Frank Munoz, the tour promoter for this great enterprise, also produced Ted's record Rock Opera. Thanks for being here today.
Thank
what
you,
a delight.
Nikki. Absolutely. And we hope to see everybody in Yellow Springs this whole weekend. It's going to be great.
It's going to be lovely. TedNeely.com. That's all E's. TedNeely.com. You can find out more information. Ted, thank you so much for coming here today and I look forward
My
to
pleasure.
This evening. Thank you.